started in
like me, Justice and Drew, they sure make quite a team. I could listen to them all day long. This is the sound of their show. This is the sound. I'm giddier than a schoolgirl every time I tune in. I can't wait for Sam to bring her top five. It's the best reason to get out of bed. It's time for Justice and Drew. It's time for Justice and Drew.
Just one look at you.
Can you dig it?
And I know it's gonna be.
Can you dig it?
News Talk AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. It is Friday. And Justice and Drew is on the air. We will be here for the next 3 hours, give or take.
You will.
Yeah. Yeah, don't expect to hear much from John today.
I can talk. I just don't know how much energy or liveliness you're
John got
saving everything from there.
His mouth drilled for like 7 hours straight yesterday.
Two root canals, man.
In one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is not fun.
You shouldn't sign up for that.
No.
You shouldn't volunteer yourself.
No.
I tried to warn you.
I know. Well, I needed to get it. Well, at least it wasn't three. You know,
two is better than three.
There was that. Left the show yesterday, had a 10 o'clock appointment, and I got there before 10, and I did not leave until after 4. That was not what I had in mind.
Yeah.
I was planning on being home a lot earlier. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
Doing pretty good. I am super cold, though.
Are you?
I just drank one of those, like, frozen blended coffee things.
Oh, okay.
It has
all right.
Really cold.
We do have a busy show today. You know, I'll let Drew do the honors because I got to save like my stuff.
it is Friday, and that means it is the roundtable. We got the roundtable classic coming in today. Representative Nick Zerwas, lots to chat with him, and of course, comedian Brian Miller will be joining us. We're going to play an interview with Tommy Lahren.
What I hear. This is just word in the building and on the street. Interview for the ages.
I hear
it's the most incredible interview one will ever hear.
Pretty spectacular.
I have no idea if that's true. Drew just had a chance to interview Tommy Lahren, and I've not heard it.
She's coming to town for an event on the 19th. Basically a stage show, one-woman show kind of deal at the Pantages Theater on the 19th, and she'll tell us all about that. That's going to happen around 7 o'clock this morning.
We have an update on the Hawaii volcano, you know, big eruption, not you, because I remember you had your nickname.
Explosive eruption.
Explosive eruption, yeah. They're talking about how it could explosively erupt. We'll get into that a little bit later on this morning. I was kind of pleased yesterday. One of the headlines was mirroring a bit, and I always like when that happens, was mirroring a bit of what we had been talking about on the show this week, and that is the way that Trump has been dealing with, and we'll just talk about the foreign affairs part of it, like going big. Like he's going big, and so far his going big is working out, but that's an emerging narrative from overnight about how he's taken these big swings on these big foreign affairs issues, and so far it's paying off.
And that's kind of what he ran on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he ran on a number of things, but that was one of the things that he talked about on his campaign is We have to change America's standing in the world. America, in, you know, his words and the words of a lot of, in the minds of a lot of people, including myself, gets taken advantage of and ends up sort of being on the losing end of a lot of deals. And he promised to change that. And so far, he's been living up to those promises.
We had a great conversation with Fox News contributor and a friend of the show, Katie Pavlich, at 8:30 yesterday. If you missed it, check it out on the podcast via the iHeart Radio app. Again, yesterday, right around 8:30. I saw on Twitter this morning. So we talked with Katie about how there were signs being put up about the embassy being moved and where it was going to be. That was very historic. And we talked with Pete Hegseth, too, about that. There are new signs up in Israel. Have you seen them?
I haven't been to Israel since yesterday.
Oh, okay. Well, they're on the Twitters. On the Twitters, and Sam, I think you'll appreciate this. There are signs up
in the Twitters.
There are signs in Israel, and they say, and it says, "Trump, make it Israel great again."
Well, there you go.
They're putting those signs up in Israel because of the fact that they're moving the embassy.
Are we going to make Israel great again? Shifting narrative in the next election of Trump Israeli collusion?
Please, no. Please, no. So, quick, because everything that I do has some sort of story attached to it. So, spent all that time with the root canals yesterday, right? Got them all done. Sat with the first part of it when the first doctor took care of the root canals and was discussing what had been done, right? Always learn a little bit more about yourself. I found out, Drew, that I have abnormally long teeth roots.
Okay.
Only me.
I don't know what that means.
Well, because your
teeth. Does it mean that like your teeth won't fall out as easy?
No. Actually, it's not a good thing. See,
I've always thought this about you, but I never really wanted to say it.
You know, you have the roots of the teeth, right? It's root canal. Yeah, those get infected. Okay, I have.
And he's there going, whoa.
They were.
Hey, come in here.
I'm lying there.
Look how long these roots are.
It's exactly what it was. I'm lying there. They're doing this work, and he's got to, you know, get the needles and stuff in there. And he's like, I don't know if we have one long enough. And when we were done, he's like, you have abnormally long teeth roots. They're so long that they end up getting up in too close to where my nasal passage is. So if I
do. Sam, we got to put this in a liner. Justice and Drew, abnormally long teeth roots.
He told me that, and I'm just like, man, I got the worst genes ever. I just defective heart valve. I lost my gallbladder. Abnormally long teeth roots.
Where'd you leave your
gallbladder? I had to have it taken out.
I lost it.
I had to remove it.
That happens to me all the time. You know, you get to the end of the day, realize you lost something. You have to like backtrack through your whole day.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Sam put a tile app on her gallbladder.
I did. Yeah. I got a tile for everything.
I meant I lost it as if they had to take it out because it wasn't functioning properly. That's what it was. So
thanks for the clarification.
They lost it.
I added the. In case anybody was curious, I added the abnormally long teeth roots to my Twitter bio. You know,
that's good.
Talk show co-host. You know, podcaster.
abnormally long.
You know, teeth roots. Yeah.
We also will talk with Tom Emmer, Representative Tom Emmer. He's going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. He's got some thoughts on Trump pulling out of the Iran deal. We'll get his thoughts on the announced North Korean summit, which is coming up in June. So I'm looking forward to that. And your world-famous parody song contest coming up at 8:35 this morning.
Sam, how's the scouring? Do you need to borrow one of my abnormally long teeth roots to help you out? Or
I need to use it like a pickaxe. Okay.
And can you, while you're scouring the internet, can you look for John's gallbladder?
Sure.
No, okay. It's gone. I'm pretty sure it's been thrown away. I'm pretty sure they tossed it.
Sam's top five coming up next.
Justin.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice and Drew. Sam's top five coming up in just a few minutes out of Reuters. Residents near one of the world's most active volcanoes were warned yesterday of the rising levels of toxic gas. And
why are there still residents?
Concerns on the ground that Kilauea could blow at any time.
It's their home, Drew.
Move!
Well, you know, I...
Move! You can move!
Maybe this
allowed
is,
to move!
Maybe this is worthy of, like, a lengthier discussion because, you know, because you've mentioned this several times this week, Drew, this, why are people building near these places? And it's not even just individuals. There was a there is an energy plant, or there is an energy plant within like a mile, the Puna Geothermal Venture plant, which has also been imperiled in the wake of the volcano. So there
happens when you build an energy plant near a volcano.
Well, they obviously didn't have that big of a concern, or didn't expect that it was going to happen, or there's just not enough space.
I think that's the
maybe that's the
most logical reason, is we got to put it somewhere.
Well, it
basically is. The island is a volcano, so
it is a geothermal energy plant, so I guess it would kind of feed off the volcano. So far, Kilauea has destroyed 36 structures, 26 homes since May 3rd.
Barbara Lozano, who lives within a mile of the plant, said she would have thought twice about buying her property if she'd known the risks.
What? Do people actually not know where Hawaii came from? Is that like a thing?
How do you not know the risks?
Yeah. This feels like it's got to be a lot like Yellowstone, right? Yellowstone one day is going to erupt. That's just a certainty. One day it's going, but the odds of it happening in most people's lifetimes are very small. I imagine the odds here were a little bit higher, obviously, because the volcano is actually erupting. The Hawaiian Volcano Observatory has warned the growing instability in the area could mean other areas of the island also could be at risk. Have you watched any of the footage of this?
Yeah.
It's a slow movie. You can get away from it.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. It's scary.
There's a quote here from this Barbara Lozano. Mm-hmm. Said she would have thought twice about buying the property if she had known the risks of, I don't know, buying a property within a mile of an active volcano.
Right.
She says, why did they let us buy residential property knowing it was a dangerous situation? Why did they let people build why did you buy it?
Well, why do you live in Hawaii then? I mean,
do you go through your life just waiting for everyone else to tell you what you should and shouldn't do?
Geologists have warned on Wednesday that Kilauea could soon experience explosive eruptions from its summit and launch ballistic rocks and ash into the air. They said the next
sounds like we need a preemptive strike.
The next but cork it. Right? You need to just put a cork in it?
Well, look,
if it's going to explode boulders at us, I say we throw boulders at it first.
They froze one in Star Trek Into Darkness.
We can do that.
The next explosion, they say, could hurl ash and boulders the size of refrigerators miles into the air, which would shut down the airline traffic and endanger the lives in all directions. Yeah, so kind of like, you know, so you got boulders the size of refrigerators. So it's kind of like Indiana Jones in the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull when he got into the... just like that in the beginning, you know? But that was a big explosion. He got into a fridge. It was
a horrible movie.
That's a fun movie.
Absolutely.
That's a fun movie. That movie fell victim to the expectations of modern day moviegoers.
And stupid aliens thrown in at the end. Spoiler.
They were trans and intertransdimensional beings.
Defend that horrid, horrid movie.
It was not horrid. It was not horrid.
651-989-5855 is the phone number. Do you do that? You spite watch movies?
Totally. Yeah.
Does anybody else know?
I'm on strong medication this morning. You're going to find a level of honesty for me today that even beyond how I normally am.
Sam has compiled the top five stories you need to know to kick off your Friday. Let's get right into Sam's top five.
Number one.
Penn says it's time for the special counsel to wrap up the Russia investigation.
Yeah, man. Wrap it up.
Just show on the road.
You know what?
It's never going to happen.
No. No, this will go on until Trump's not president anymore.
They need Drew. That's what they need. They need Drew. Because Drew's really, really good at doing the wrap it up, wrap it. You need to get in front of Mueller and just do the wrap
just
it up.
The hand signal.
Just wrap it up, Mueller. Come on, dude.
Oh, my gosh. When Drew does the wrap it up symbol, I'm just like, oh, my God.
Exactly.
I just want to do it. I had no idea it had that much power.
Yeah,
I know. Give up my life.
I know. Well, it's better than the notes he used to do when we first started working together.
You just like write notes and hold it up.
Oh, he used notes before. You thought the wrap it up signals were bad. The notes, he had like a stack of notes. Phones.
Refresh.
Move along. You suck.
See, don't you?
Not funny.
See, don't you guys love it now that you've, you know, kind of worked
Stop
as
talking about Walmart.
That's right. Enough on immigration.
Now you guys just communicate with some weird sign language that you both made up.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Yeah, it's really bizarre.
And a lot of passive-aggressive body gestures.
Right.
I didn't know you did those.
There's one going on right now.
Well, from the Washington Post, Vice President Pence yesterday urged Special Counsel Robert S. Mueller III to bring his investigation into Russian
Seems election. Awfully formal. Robert S. Mueller III.
I could just call him Robbie.
Yeah. Hey, start. Bob. Bob, wrap it up, Bob.
Pence encouraged him to bring his investigation into the Russian election interference to a close, saying it's time to wrap it up. Pence's remarks echoed calls by President Trump and his lawyers, who have argued that there is no evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia, and that Mueller is now seeking to trap Trump into committing perjury about his actions related to the investigation. Pence was asked yesterday by NBC's Andrea Mitchell if he believes the investigation is a hoax. As Trump has repeatedly characterized it, he responded, "Our administration has been fully cooperating with the special counsel and will continue to. What I think is that it's been about a year since this investigation began. Our administration has provided more than 1 million documents. We fully cooperated in it, and in the interest of the country, I think it's time to wrap it up."
I agree with him 100%. The problem is there's a lot, you know, there's pressure coming from the White House to wrap it up, but there is a lot more pressure coming from congressional Democrats to continue to find something. And they will do everything in their power up to and including, you know, trying to get legislation passed to continue this investigation, because this is all they have. This is the only narrative they have going into the next midterm elections is Trump Russia collusion.
Right.
I mean, the economy's doing good. Our foreign policy is in a much better shape than it has been in a very long time. Unemployment is down. Jobs are up. I mean, all of these metrics that you would typically judge an administration by are pretty positive. The only thing they've got is we really don't like him.
Well, and I'll add one more to that. That you're absolutely right, but the only other narrative they have, and Walter Hudson was actually talking about this the other night, is the impeachment route. Is this idea that if you elect Democrats, they can go and try to impeach him. One quick point on.
Hold on. Let me piggyback onto that. Mm-hmm. On what grounds would they impeach him, though?
Right. I know.
Russia collusion narrative.
True.
That's
true.
It.
True. True.
And they
right.
Need
right.
The investigation
right.
to be continued to say that we've got some sort of grounds to impeach him.
I know this would never happen, but I understand. I do understand why it's taking so long. These things do take a long time. They're going through hundreds upon, if not hundreds of thousands, if not more than that, of documents. These things, it's the government. These investigations move like molasses. What I wish would happen is I wish that because of how high profile it is, I wish that we would have some indication from Mueller of where he's at. How far along, I wish we had like updates. How far along are you? Have you found anything yet? I get why it takes a long time. These things take a long time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, without knowing any of that, which we'll never get because investigations don't do that, it feels like it's going to continue in perpetuity.
We will continue with Sam's Top 5 right after this.
Justice.
Don't be a jerk, man.
Right.
Yeah. You can disagree with us. You can disagree with the president. You can disagree with whomever you want.
Just don't be a jerk.
Just be a jerk about it.
Yeah. Or hypocritical.
Or a liar.
Or a liar.
Yeah.
Or irrational.
We were talking during the break about the impeachment. You know, the drive for impeachment and how the Democrats are going to use that as one of their narratives going into the midterms is, you know, you put us in charge of Congress and we're gonna work to impeach Trump, even though they really don't have anything to impeach him on.
Right.
Listener Kevin, friend of the show, emailed. This is, even if the Russian collusion narrative goes away, the Democrats are offering up a lot of reasons to impeach Trump. And he sent a Maxine Waters tweet from 2 days ago where she wrote, "Trump, further isolating the United States, thinks he knows better than our negotiators and all of our global allies who agreed to the Iran deal. How long do we have to suffer his gigantic ego and narcissistic behavior? Impeachment This is the only answer. Like, Representative Waters, you can't impeach a president for being a narcissist and having a giant ego.
Right.
Otherwise, like, all of our presidents would have been impeached.
Yeah, it's all the impeachments.
You just impeach, and then the vice president, and then you'd impeach them. You have to be a bit of a narcissist and have a bit of an ego to even think, like, yeah, I should totally be president.
Well, and this is like one of a 100,000 that have probably been tweeted over Twitter in the past 20 minutes. But I was going through my feed also during the break, and Duncan Jones is a movie director, did a Source Code Moon Warcraft Mute, which was horrible. He tweeted this. It was 6 minutes ago, right? Talking about North Korea. North Korea is case in point. In the short term, it'll appear to be a success. But then, North Korea will do what they always do and agitate a new crisis for new favors. Problem is, they work in cycles over years. Trump in news cycles over days. Trump wins, we all lose. So, okay, what's your point? Trump shouldn't have done anything.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what he does.
Just doesn't bother. Should have left the hostages over there.
Right.
Just, you China, you have a discussion with them. I don't want to talk with Kim Jong Un.
Like what we were saying, a couple weeks ago, that there's an element of the left that would rather see Kim Jong Un in North Korea become a legitimate nuclear threat than be able to say, yeah, Trump did all right
and
there.
They're so honest about it.
Yeah, they don't care.
They don't care. Well, yes, I would.
Yeah, will it help Democrats get elected if North Korea gets nukes? Then go for it. Can we give them some of ours?
Yeah. So that's why we were saying just don't be a jerk.
Yeah, stop being a jerk.
Or irrational.
You know who's not a jerk?
Nah.
Sam.
Absolutely not a jerk.
It's going to continue.
The anti-jerk.
That's pretty amazing for John to say, because I'm pretty. I can be.
I would never say. I mean, you've been mean to me, but not even been a jerk to me.
Aw. The nicest thing you could say.
Nicest thing?
Sam will take it.
We'll take it for the moment.
Number two.
Trump is going to be meeting with Kim Jong-un set for June 12th. From the Washington Examiner, President Trump announced yesterday that he will meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un on June 12th in Singapore. Trump tweeted, "The highly anticipated meeting between Kim Jong-un and myself will take place in Singapore on June 12th. We will both try to make it a very special moment for world peace." The announcement comes hours after Trump greeted three Americans as they returned from the U.S. after being held captive in North Korea. The three men were brought back to the U.S. by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo during his second trip to the country in the last 2 months. Trump praised Kim for the release of the three detainees, but declined to say early yesterday if he had spoken with Kim ahead of the high-stakes talks between the two countries about denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula. Trump said from a tarmac at Joint Base Andrews in Maryland, "My proudest achievement will be, this is a part of it, will be when we denuclearize that entire peninsula. This is what people have been waiting for a long time. The true honor is going to be if we have a victory in getting rid of nuclear weapons."
Look, this, what is really, if you can back away from, if it's possible, if you can just back away from your opinions and views and party politics and whatnot, and just look at what's happening right now, it is very interesting, and this is what history will decide. We had 8 years of one way of dealing with our foreign affair issues, whether it's Israel, whether it's Iran, whether it's North Korea. Okay, we had 8 years of dealing with it one way. Mm-hmm. Now we're in the middle of the Trump administration and dealing with it in a complete opposite way. More of a carry a bigger stick, show how strong we are. So far, it's yielded some positive results. On a long enough timeline, we'll find out which way ended up yielding longer positive results. But it is fascinating to see. We're looking at two opposite ends of the spectrum on how to deal with these issues.
Yep. There's some value in being a little unpredictable. When it comes to these sort of negotiations and these sort of deals and these sort of relationships. And I'm glad that, one of the problems that I had with the Obama administration was they would sort of defer to other countries. They didn't put America's interests always first. Trump is clearly going about his foreign policy that way, putting America's interests first and foremost, front and center. If it doesn't benefit us, then we're just not going to do it.
Right.
And I like that.
Number three.
Net neutrality is set to end on June 11th. June 11th and 12th are going to be pretty busy with net neutrality ending and Trump.
Seriously.
From Money CNN, the end of net neutrality is now scheduled for next month. The Federal Communications Commission said in a notice filed yesterday that new rules repealing the net neutrality protections are set to take effect 30 days from this Friday or June 11th.
Enjoy your internet while you can.
Yeah, apparently the world's going to end.
Well, and Sam, to your point, the net neutrality people are like way more up in arms about that than they are about the possibility of, you know, having peace with North Korea. Like the net neutrality people are just completely off their rocker.
Ajit Pai, he's the chairman of the FCC, said in a statement yesterday, now on June 11th, these unnecessary and harmful internet regulations will be repealed, and the bipartisan light-touch approach that served the online world well for nearly 20 years will be restored. The Republican-led FCC voted along party lines in December to repeal the Obama-era net neutrality rules, which were intended to prevent internet providers from blocking, speeding up, or slowing down access to specific online services.
Even though there wasn't a whole lot of evidence that that was actually happening.
Yeah, but it could.
You're not supposed to say that.
The FCC previously said that parts of the repeal order would take effect on April 23rd. The rest of the order required the approval of the Office of Management and Budget, which the FCC says that it received earlier this month. The new timeline comes as net neutrality advocates make a last-ditch effort to undo the repeal. Senate Democrats are currently pushing for a vote on a bill to overturn the decision as soon as next week, and even if the resolution passes the Senate, it still faces a pretty uphill battle in the House.
Yeah, so June 11th, and then on June 12th, when somebody's internet goes down for reasons that have nothing to do with net neutrality, they will have the excuse of net neutrality being repealed to go and blame it on. I already saw it trending yesterday. I was like, why is net neutrality trending again on Twitter? Why are they?
Why is it still a thing?
Have one last chance before we get rid of the internet forever.
Hurry, binge the rest of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia before it goes away.
It's not how it works.
Number four.
Representative Eric Paulson got behind a gun violence measure in Congress. From the Star Tribune, U.S. Representative Eric Paulson is joining a bipartisan effort in Congress to encourage states to pass laws that let law enforcement take firearms from people determined to be a danger to themselves or others. The measure unveiled this week is named for Jake Laird. He's an Indiana police officer shot to death in 2004 by a man with mental illness. Nine states, including Indiana, have passed some variation on the so-called red flag laws, and the congressional proposal would provide grants meant to incentivize other states to do so. Minnesota does not currently have such a law. Paulson's office.
I hate the federal government, and regardless of this particular issue. That tactic just has really begun to grate on my nerves, where they're going to dangle money in front of states to pass laws that they should pass. Either have the courage to pass it yourself or leave it alone. Stop dangling money in front of states to try to coerce them into behaving and passing laws that you think they should pass.
Paulson said in a statement, as we learned in the Parkland, Florida shooting, often before a violent crime is committed by someone coping with mental illness, the warning signs are there. He went on to say, but unless that individual is otherwise prohibited from owning a firearm, law enforcement is powerless to act. Gun violence restraining orders enable law enforcement to safely get guns out of the hands of people who may be of danger to themselves or others.
And it's a slippery slope, man. This is a dangerous sort of game to play because without fail, you're going to end up violating the Second Amendment rights of people who have done nothing wrong and aren't actually a threat, because law enforcement's not perfect and they're going to make some mistakes in this, and they're going to start red flagging people who shouldn't be red flagged.
Well, and Eric Paulson couldn't have picked a worse example to use. When it comes to the Parkland, Florida shooting, it goes so far beyond that of all the different missed signs. I mean, what are we going to start passing laws for every single circumstance and instant where somebody missed the warning? Warning signs from Nicholas Cruz. I mean, you couldn't have picked a different, maybe more relevant example. This is a bummer, and it's another decision being based off emotions. I understand that, but I just don't agree with it.
Yeah, and Eric Paulson is, I think, playing a losing game. He's facing a bit of a tough re-election battle. His district has been trending a bit away from him, and he's going to have a tough fight come November to get reelected, and his tactic seems to be, you know, to try to be a little more moderate, to try to be a little more squishy, to try to make those that might, you know, might consider voting for the Democrat, I'm not that bad of a Republican. That never works.
Gross.
That never works. Why would they vote for Democrat light when they can just vote for the Democrat?
Number five.
Minneapolis is going to pay $193,000 to settle a TV anchor's snooping case. From the Star Tribune, the city of Minneapolis is poised to pay $193,500 to settle a lawsuit filed by Alex Kendall. She's a TV anchor whose personal driver's license information was repeatedly looked up by Minneapolis police officers for no good reason.
That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
If anybody out there wants to look up my driver's license information for no good reason,
yeah, feel free.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Go for it. What? Go for it.
Look at it.
Yeah.
Stare at it a long time. How long? How much money do I get for how long they stare at it?
The story is really weird.
Kendall, it is weird.
Kendall's was one of the few remaining cases in a years-long saga involving overcurious cops who clicked into the state's driver and vehicle services database to look at photographs, addresses, and driving records of dozens of Minnesotans, many of them celebrities.
So they were... They were cyber stalking, but in this case, they were just using their government ability to cyber stalk.
Yep. Exactly,
like it's weird and creepy.
You know, like regular people, just Facebook stalk.
Right,
right. That
they have access to.
Right. I don't. I mean, but
did she not have an Instagram?
I bet she did. I bet she did.
This is bothersome to have law enforcement doing these sort of things, and the settlement is probably the right decision. And good for Alex Kendall for getting some restitution on this. But again, I'll say, you know, for $193,000, you can poke around in my driver's license if
you want. Man, but jokes on you.
I'm on the media.
But the weird thing is how many times they did it though, because she sued 169 cities and counties after learning her private information had been accessed 3,844 times over 9 years. She is the co-host of the morning show on Fox 9, and several hundred of the lookups occurred while she was on air, not driving or communicating with law enforcement.
Right.
It's just weird.
Yeah, they were watching Fox 9, and they were like, I want to know more about her.
I'm not justifying by any stretch. I know you're saying weird. I understand. I'm not agreeing with it, but I get it. They were Facebook stalking her, but they were using the means that they had. It doesn't make it right, but it does. It is. I don't want to say understandable. I get the reason. I get the reason why, but I also get why she was concerned.
Her case and many others were dismissed in federal court, but she appealed to the Eighth Circuit. While her data had been accessed 560 times by Minneapolis police, the appeals court winnowed down the number of instances on which she could proceed with a lawsuit based on the statute of limitations and what the court considered the plausibility that her privacy was being violated.
Okay, so what's the cutoff for the number of times that her private information was accessed where it went from flattering to creepy?
I mean, it would be kind of flattering, but
I'm curious,
she got a good payout, though.
There was 1,000 lookups, you'd be like, oh, that's really sweet. They saw me on TV and obviously, you know, wanted to learn more about me. But as you get, oh, now we're at 50, oh, now we're at 2,000, oh, now we're at 3, now there's a problem.
You know, if you're a cop and you're looking at my information, just hit me up. I'll just tell you what you want to know.
Oh, here go the phones. All right, Sam, you got some calls to answer. Well done on the top five. We've got to wrap it up because the phones are ringing off the hook now. Good morning, officer. How are you?
All right, we have the roundtable joining us in studio. Lots to talk about.
Just hit me up. I'm an open book.
Including Representative Nick Zerwas, who will be with us. He had to argue again. Did you see the photo they used, by the way? He had to argue for the protest bill again. The photo they used in the Star Tribune is the angry Nick. It was the angry Nick photo. Plus,
he's cute when he's angry.
Bill banning handheld devices in cars passes the Minnesota House Committee. Furthest that it's gone so far. It's all coming up on Twin Cities News Talk.
Plus, we will speak in the next segment with Tommy Lahren, who is coming to town for an event at the Pantages Theater on May 19th. Justin.